us first. We thank you that you've given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. We ask that right now you'd be with us. I ask that you'd be with me as I'm speaking. Help me to think clearly. Help me to clearly portray the truths that are plainly in your word. Just ask that you open all our hearts to understand and open up all our hearts even more to apply, to let it take root. And then just, Lord, help us to go out and live our faith. I ask this in your name. Amen. All right, you guys, wow. Is that microphone picking me up from clear out? That's nice. You guys had an awesome opportunity this week. I can't tell you how cool it was, everything Jonathan spoke on. If you can take that and make some applications to your life, you are so far ahead. If you can start to understand the cross, understand all God did for you, and then actually take that and not just let it be knowledge, but let it permeate who you are, and let it change who you are, then you are going to be so far ahead in your Christian walk, in your Christian life, than truly a lot of people in our great nation are today. There's a real tendency in our nation to be in the nation, to know it, to be a Christian. And even though I'm a Christian, even though I've been bought by the blood of Christ, to just go ahead and not let it affect my life in any way, shape, or form. And so today, I'm going to talk about what's real. I think I borrowed this, or I think it's copyrighted by Levi's Jeans. Is that who did it originally? There's a series of commercials that say, "Get Real." And it was back from when I used to watch cartoons on Saturday mornings. I used to always watch these commercials that say, "Get Real," but I can't remember who it was. I think it's Levi's Jeans. So that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. We're going to get real. We're going to take what Jonathan talked about, and we're going to take this awesome standing we have. We're going to take the fact that we've been bought. We're going to take the fact that God the Father loved us that much. We're going to take all these things that we've heard about all weekend, and we're going to take the awesome price that Christ paid that we can't even think about. And we're going to take it, and we're going to use that as a springboard. And with that as background knowledge, we're going to get real. And we're going to talk about how we're going to live when we walk away from this retreat. I talked about the very first time before we started singing, Friday night, I mentioned that life's hard. I mentioned that the Christian life, in particular, is hard. If you're living it right, it's not going to be the easiest thing in the world. It's not going to be something that just flows naturally. It's not the thing that I got saved and now my life is all fun and games, it's all a breeze. No, it's hard. And it hurts. It hurts like crazy sometimes. And I'm young, and I think it hurts. And you talk to some of the people that are a lot older than me, and they're going to say, "You don't know what hurt is yet. Just wait." And I'm sure that's true. And it's going to come. It's going to get hard. And we need to be ready for the hurt. And the only way that's going to happen is if we get real now. We realize who we are. We realize what's happened. So everybody open up to 1 Peter chapter 1. Still pick me up? I'm going to be able to stand up if I want to. Peter here gives us some awesome reminders. I've been thinking on this passage, memorized this passage, been memorized and meditating on this for the better part of, well, most of this semester. And I just can't get over everything that's in this. I can't get over how much God's done for us, and I can't get over that the ability it gives us just to live now in the face of pain, in the face of where we're at. Start in verse 1. This is where the first point hits me. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. But who's he writing to? He doesn't say to the saints who are in Ephesus, as Paul says in Ephesians. He doesn't say to the saints in Galatia or whatever. He says to those who reside as aliens. He wants you to remember something. I said people in the U.S. have a big tendency to live in the U.S. And we need to realize something, that that's not our home. Turn over a page where Peter picks this up again. In 1 Peter 2, verse 9, he picks up the same theme. He's saying, you're an alien. So he starts off right at the beginning. He says, I want to remind you of something. You say you're a believer, you say you've been bought by Christ's blood, you don't belong. Don't try. You're an alien. But you are a chosen race. You're of a totally different race. A royal priesthood, a holy nation. This isn't your nation. You are a nation. A people for God's own for God's own possession. You're a totally different people. You're just a different group. You are an alien, and you need to live like it. You need to realize that you're an alien. You're a stranger. This is not your home. When you guys go home, you're going to be hit. The first thing when you hit high school, I know this, is, and you're taught this so often, it's hammered into your brains. You're juniors and seniors, right? I believe, no, you're all the way, freshmen through seniors. Your junior and senior year, I remember just getting hammered every single day about how this world was my home, and I had to make it for myself. I had to make a way. I had to get good grades because I had to get into college, or I had to do good in sports because I had to get in college because I had to make money, and I had to make a way for myself. And that's right, if this world is my home. But if I'm an alien, if I don't belong here, if I'm just spending a little time here visiting, then everything changes. And that's what Peter says. He reminds us, we're of a different race, we're of a different people, we're of a different nation. None of this stuff applies to us, what the world hits you with. That you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who calls you out of darkness into His marvelous light. For once, you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And the first statement hits us a little stronger. The second statement is the more powerful of the two. The first one is, once you are not a people. We all know what that feels like. We all want to belong. We all want to fit in somewhere. Everybody does. I do. I love Emmaus Bible College. I love Kansas Bible Camp for those two reasons. Because I come home to Kansas during the summer, and I start my job at KBC, and I know where I'm at. I know what I need to do. I know I need to get this done, and this done, and this done. And I know this is my job, because I've been doing it for 8 years, and it's easy. I belong there. I go back up to Emmaus Bible College, and I've been there for a couple years, and I know what's going on, and I belong. And I love it, because I walk in, it's just easier. This is how it goes. And that's what we all want. That's what we're all looking for, a little bit of stability. We want to belong. Once you are not a people, but now, you are the people of God. Those two things that make me belong, yeah, they're nice, they're serving the Lord, but that's not what belonging is all about. Belonging is, I'm the people, we are the people of God. Then the stronger statement, it doesn't hit us at first. It says, for you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We need mercy to live. Jonathan talked about this. Just that without God's mercy, without the mercy of God, mercy is just a simple thing. It's the game of mercy. You're playing against someone and they give up and they say, have mercy on me because you're hurting me. And life hurts. And if we had to go through this whole life without receiving mercy, there's nothing to it. We're just going to get beat up and it's going to hurt like crazy and there's no hope. But we have received mercy. And the greatest mercy is what we've just been looking at. The bread, the juice, that we have had our sins forgiven. That's receiving mercy. And we've had that. Okay? Beloved, verse 11, I urge you as aliens and strangers. Okay, now you know you're aliens and strangers. You know you don't belong here. You belong somewhere else. You've got your visa, you've got your passport, and you're just going through. And you don't need to set up a house. You don't need to build a house, you don't need to build a community. Maybe set up a tent, but it's got to be something that takes down real easy because you're moving on. I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing which they slander you as evildoers, they may on account of your good deeds as they observe them glorify God in the day of visitation. Keep your behavior excellent among those you're living with. You're an alien. You're a stranger. You don't belong here. You're moving through. I'm going to hammer this into your brain because this is the most important truth. This is so important that you realize that this is not my home. I'm just going. I just keep on going. Okay, you're an alien and a stranger. But, beloved, I urge you as alien and strangers in verse 12, keep your behavior excellent among those you're living with. So that, in the same in which they slander you as evildoers, they may on account of your good deeds, if they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. Okay, I'm going to give you a couple examples of this. People are looking for Christians who are the aliens and the strangers, and they know we don't belong. But guess what? Because we're here and we live a higher lifestyle, we make it really uncomfortable for them. And they need to make that comfort easier. I talked to a guy this weekend, I won't tell you who it is, but he said, guess what? I try and live a good, hard, strong Christian testimony, and I've been doing pretty well at school for a while. And then I messed up. I went out with some friends, I did some things I shouldn't, and they were with me. And I realized something real quick. The only reason they were begging me to go out with them was so that their life would be easier. And they came up, and they're able to come up the next day almost and say, "Look, you're just like us. It's not, we don't feel guilty anymore. You're just like us." And this is exactly what the passage is saying. "Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, on account of your good behavior, of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation." They're going to see you, and they're going to want to slander you as an evildoer because they want to make it easier on themselves. But you got to live such a life as an alien and a stranger. You got to not let this world touch you. You got to live above it. And that's so hard because we're in the world and it's all around us and it is touching us. We just got to let it brush off. We got to let it not make a mark. Okay? This is applying the cross. This is applying the new nature that Jonathan talked about we have. We have two sides of our being, he said. We have the immaterial and the material. We've got this part that we can see. And this part's alive. It's obvious. But the other part was dead. And God made it alive. And that part is the part that's truly alive. We're going to get real here. What part of me is alive? This part is dying. Cells are dying as I speak. Every time I exhale, I'm exhaling dead cells. I'm exhaling waste. My body's working furiously to clean out the pollutants and the filth. Okay, the physical body. But the spiritual body, that's alive. Okay? And they're trying, we need to let things just knock off. Example I've heard at school several times in the last week. And something you've heard as well, possibly. And there's a guy up in, where, North Dakota, South Dakota? A guy who's a homosexual was brutally murdered, hung on a fence post. Where was it at?
Wyoming,
okay? Up north. Brutally murdered. And you know what's on the news the next day? And there's this lady commenting on it. Commentator from the news. She says, "You know whose fault this is? This is those bigoted Christians." Can you believe that? They're going and they're preaching that homosexuality is wrong, and they go and they cause this kind of sin and murder. And that hurts, doesn't it? Are we living the kind of life that that's not going to stick? That the people are going to look around and say, "Nice try. Nice try, lady, to put it off on someone else." But it doesn't. Or the whole world's going to say, "Yeah, she's right." That hurts, don't it? Because I don't know. I think the church as a whole isn't living that way. But I don't know how I'm living. And this is a personal application passage. He's observing, he's urging us as aliens and strangers, keep our behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, on account of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. How are the Gentiles who slandered us and called us evildoers going to glorify God in the day of visitation? I'll tell you how. There's only one way that when they stand before God as judge, they're going to glorify Him. And they're going to say, "Praise the Lord," instead of crying out. And you know how that is? That's if our behavior is so excellent that they try and pin stuff to us and they can't. And we go back to our high school and they try and get us to go along with them. And maybe they get us for a while, but we bounce back up. We say, "No, I was wrong. I'm going to own up to my sin. I'm going to own up that I was wrong, and I'm going to live a holy life now." And they try and pin stuff on us, and they can't. And they say, "This person is different." And they finally say, "Okay, I'm going to be different too, because I can't take the heat. I can't take the fact that he can live a perfect life, or a seemingly perfect life. I can't take the fact that he is holy as his God is holy." We're going to get to that in a few more verses. So therefore, I got to live like him. I got to change. And then they're going to glorify their God in the day of visitation. Song we sang this weekend, Psalm 67. "Let the people praise thee, O God." How are they going to praise him? When is the time when the whole earth praises him? It's going to be when the whole earth is saved. Okay? And that's going to come during the millennium. And sad but true, it's because God's removed the wicked. Okay? God has already taken all those who are evil out of the way. But in the meantime, if this is what we know is coming, our Christianity ought to be that of a lifeboat. The world's going down. Get as many into the lifeboat as possible. Okay? And we need to live it. It's our life. Live it as an alien and a stranger. Don't get caught up in the world. You're just going to get hammered by the world to fight your way to the top. That's exactly what I remember all high school. Wrestling. I loved wrestling. I still love wrestling. But that was more than anything else that changed me, that gave me that mentality that I need to beat, I can and I will beat anybody, and I am going to fight my way to the top. And no one is going to stand in my way because I will just beat them down. And that's not living as an alien and stranger, that's putting up a house. That's saying, I'm going to make my way right now, I'm going to put up a dwelling, and it's going to be strong. And that's not right at all. Okay, turn back to 1 Peter 1. We know who we are. We're aliens. We've got that down. Okay, now, as aliens, this is what Peter writes to us. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, that you may obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with His blood. May grace and peace be yours in fullest measure. Something I talked to my guys last night in devotions, I'll say to all of you, is if you follow that in verse 2, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, that you may obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with His blood, there's nothing left to chance. There's nothing left that's a bailout point. God takes you the whole way. He chose you. He sent His Spirit to sanctify you and make you obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled by His blood. You're an alien. And the sad and the awesome truth is that God's going to get you there. God's going to get you to heaven. You're going to be 100% holy, 100% sanctified, as we're going to bring up a minute later. One day you're going to stand before God in His presence. You're going to be holy. You're going to be in heaven, and you're there. And you've got this life that you can do something a little different with. You've got this life that you can say, I don't want to, God. I want to live for myself. I know you bought me. I know I'm yours. I can feel it in my being. I'm so sure of it. But I'm going to try and live like the world, and I'm going to set up a house here. Well, God might let you do that, because what's 80 years in the face of eternity? Or maybe He lets you do it for 20 years before He grabs you by the neck and pulls you back to Him. But what's 20 years in the face of eternity? So to God, He'll say, yeah, I'll let you do it. But to you, that's going to be the longest 20 years. It's going to be the longest 80 years. You need to be an alien and a stranger right now. God takes you the whole way. May grace and peace be yours in fullest measure. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy, we already talked about His great mercy, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope, to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He's caused us to be born again. Okay, we talked about that, a new nature. But He's caused us to be born again, even better, to a living hope. If you're taking notes, write this down. The world defines hope all wrong. And this is exactly coincides with what John was talking about when he said he had a hope. The world defines hope as a verb. They say, I hope that I'm going to be on time to school. I hope that my test today goes well. I hope that I get what I want for my birthday, that I get what I want for Christmas. I hope that, and there's lots of little hope, and it's a verb. I hope that. That's not how God uses hope in the Bible. To God, hope is a noun. It's something you can grasp. It's tangible. It's right in front of you. You can hold on to it. Hope is a noun, and it's built on solid, rock-solid, unchanging truth. That's the difference between the world saying hope and us saying hope. That's the difference between Johnson's quote from Forbes magazine about the world's view of hope and our view of hope. If they're trying to hope when they don't have a hope. They're trying to hope as a verb, when a hope is something you hold on to because it's rock-solid, unchanging truth. It is true and it's there. And we have a hope. We have been born again to a living hope. It's real. We're going to get real, and that hope is real. It's more real than the room around us. Because it's God's unchanging truth. It's God's unchanging work. If God wanted to save us, and He does, and He did, and He wanted to work in such a way through Christ's death on the cross to give you eternal security, if this is God Almighty who created this whole world, who as an example has, we have a sun that gives us all our energy. And God Almighty, this sun that gives every bit of energy we have on this planet, has billions of stars, too many to count, most of them bigger than our sun, pouring out more energy than we can imagine. And that's just something he sustains without really even thinking about. If that kind of a powerful God says, I'm giving you a living, real hope, you can believe it's more real than anything you see around you. This is a real hope. You're going to take it with you. You're going to walk out the door. You're going to walk into the world that's going to want to beat you up and going to want to change you into its image. But you've got a real, rock-solid hope, and you're clasping to it. Okay? And it's not a hope like the world has, which can change because it's in action. It's a hope that's solid. You can hold on to it. Who has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, and which is reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God. You see, once again, if there's nothing left out, we're going to get inheritance which is imperishable. Okay, this is our hope. This is our hope. This is a solid thing that God made. We have the hope of an inheritance which is imperishable, it's undefiled, it will not fade away, and it's reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God. Okay, first on our inheritance, if it's imperishable, it's not just, okay, imperishable, you can't destroy it. Undefiled, it's not imperfect in any way. The best treasures, the best things we can store up for ourselves on this earth that we're just passing through is all defiled. This is undefiled. It will not fade away. This world is passing. It's going to burn. It's going to burn soon. Okay? It's going. But our hope, our inheritance will not fade away. Reserved in heaven for you, check it out, who are protected by the power of God. That is amazing. That is comforting. That is, I'm an alien. I'm in a foreign land that wants to kill me. And I'm invincible. That is cool. All you guys want to watch your war movies, and you want to watch Rambo go through, and you want to watch him seemingly invincible mow down all the enemies, that's you. The world is trying to change you. The world is trying to kill you. The world is trying to kill your testimony. It's trying to keep you from being holy and keeping your behavior excellent. And you are protected by the power of God. They cannot touch you. You can let them touch you. You can invite them to touch you. And you can try, and you can make marks on yourself. But as we said, you are a new nature. It ought to bounce off. You are protected by the power of God. That's real. The power of God. God Almighty. It's real power. We're going to get real. We're going to live it. We're protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. This is where it gets tough. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. It's tough to rejoice, ain't it? Right? Wrong? Is rejoicing supposed to be fun? That's what it is by definition, right? So rejoicing should be great. Rejoicing should be easy. It shouldn't be tough to rejoice. It's not tough to rejoice. It's the most natural thing. Because we want to rejoice. We want to be happy. Right? Why don't I rejoice? In this you greatly rejoice. In what? In our hope. Are you rejoicing in your hope? When's the last time that you sat down and you thought about the hope you have from God and you rejoiced? This is the last time I did that. That's convicting. That is convicting. Because I don't. And if I do, I'll sit down and maybe I can remember the last time. But that's pretty sad. If I can remember the last time. Let's see. About a week ago and before that, probably 2 months before that. I'm supposed to be living as an alien. I'm supposed to be greatly rejoicing in my hope all the time. And I can pick out the times in my life that I've actually rejoiced in this kind of hope. What's wrong with it? I'll tell you, it's very simple. It's that we didn't start at step one. We're trying to live. We're not living as an alien. We're trying to set up a house. And we can't rejoice because we're upset that our house in the world is falling apart and things are burning down and things aren't going our way. I'm upset because I'm at high school and I'm trying my best to fit in with the crowds. I'm trying to make friends and for some reason they just don't accept me. And it hurts so bad. But it's because I'm not living as an alien. My hope's not where it is. Where my heart, where your treasure is, there's your heart also. That's your hope. That's where you put your heart is what you're clinging to as a hope. And if you're clinging to something that's going to burn, you're not clinging to the cross of Christ, the eternal thing that Jonathan talked about all weekend. Okay? It's getting real. We're going to live real from now on out. From here on, there's going to be no change. We're going to live real. Okay? And that's tough for me. That's tough for you. But in order to rejoice, it says, in this you greatly rejoice. And at times, you can read this passage, and so many times I've read this passage, and I just started rejoicing. Because I realized all these things, and it was such a blessing to watch the world just fade away. It was such a blessing, and to start rejoicing. And I say, wait a minute, dummy. Why did I take my eyes off of this? Why did I start trying to put up a house in the world? That's important. It's ultimately important. It's what we're living for. We've got to get this through. We've got to get it when we go out. Okay, this is a retreat. We're retreating for the world. We're regrouping our forces. We're getting ready to go out and we're going to make a difference. We're going to make a splash. And this is how we're doing it. We got to get it together and we got to go out strong. We've got to go out as aliens. Invincible aliens. They can't touch us. But we're aliens nonetheless. We're passing through. Even though, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. And he qualifies this. That the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is awesome. Okay? We're rejoicing in this hope. We're living as aliens. And even as rejoicing is in this hope, guess what? Life's hard. It's going to hurt. You're going to want to cry so many times. And you're going to cry. Because it hurts like crazy. Living the Christian life hurts. Don't expect it not to. But we greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, and it is necessary, he says that in the next verse, you've been distressed by various trials. The various trials are still going to come, even though we're living as an alien. And why? Why is it necessary? That the proof of your faith, God's going to prove your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. This goes right back to what we said before when we talked about rejoicing, when we talked about people glorifying God in the day of visitation. Our faith is going to be proved. And having your faith proved is more precious than gold. Because guess what? Gold is perishable, and your faith is not. And if you can have your faith proved to you and proved to the world, that's imperishable. That's comparative to your inheritance, which is undefiled, imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away. Because now you're having your faith proved through a testing of fire. Yeah, it's going to hurt. Fire burns. Makes you cry out. And it's going to happen. We've got to be ready for it. We've got to brace ourselves for it because we're going to get rocked. That's what it's saying. But we've got a hope, and we're going to have our faith proved, and it's so much worth it. So much worth it to be able to stand up. Quote you hear so many times, "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." By Jim Elliot, or was it Jim Elliot? Martyred by Indians. Okay? He gave up what he couldn't keep. He got what he could not lose. He got a couple things. He kept his faith, yeah. He got a testimony that lives on here on the earth. Think of what it's like in heaven. This passage screams to me of home. I didn't know where I was going to throw this in. But it screams to me of home. We're going home because we're an alien. Okay? And one of the most encouraging statements I've ever heard in my entire life, I'm going to tell you in the form of a story. Okay? You've got a missionary coming home on a boat. This is a true story. And he comes home on this boat, and as he's coming home, he's been working so hard for God in, I don't remember, South Africa or something, okay? This is during World War II, and he has seen millions of lives saved by his work. Okay? Not by him directly, but he works, he gets several saved. He plants churches with these, and these go out. And as he's building up these believers, they go out and they save millions more.
And he's just given his heart and soul to God, and it has hurt him so bad. He has cried over it so many times. But he's coming back to America, and he's coming home, he thinks. And he's going to come home on furlough, and he's going to talk to some churches. He's going to build them up. He's going to say, this is what God's been doing for us. And he's going to get them all excited about all God's done for them, and that God's doing through the Christians in Africa. And then they're just going to be so pumped up, is what he's thinking. So he comes home, and he's on the ship, and as he comes up, there's this party on the pier. There's banners waving, there's a band playing, and he's like, oh my word, word got out, how awesome God is. This is so amazing. I can't wait to tell these people. And as he's sitting there on the boat, they kind of keep him on the boat, and here comes this war general down the ramp. And the whole party's for him. Because he's done successful at war, and he's made the nation prosper. His whole ministry was to end lives. He has killed as many through his command as the missionary has saved. Millions. And the missionary can't believe it. God, what's going on? I've been working for you so long and so hard. And this guy comes home and he gets a party. And I thought I was working hard. And God gives me the soul. Guess what, buddy? You're not home yet. You're not home yet. Isn't that awesome? You're not home yet. And you just praise the Lord, because guess what? He's going to step on the shores of heaven, and that celebration, because he lived as an alien and a stranger, they're going to say, welcome home. Welcome home, faithful servant. And God's going to take him in his arms, and there's going to be a party. You better believe there's going to be a party. And that's what we're looking at here. At the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Is this what you're looking forward to? This world is not your home. You're an alien. You're not home yet. If I had my way over every church in the nation, over those doors right back there, I'd put two phrases. I'd put, you're not home yet, right over the door. So you remember when you walk out. Put another phrase under it. You are now entering your mission field. Okay? We're stepping out of this and into our mission field. We're going to live it. We're going to take all that Jonathan talked about, the new creation God's made us. We're going to get real. We're going to focus on what counts. And we're going to go hard until we go home. Okay? And though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Verse 8. And though you do not see Him now, but believe in Him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. We don't see Christ, but we love Him. And as we read things like this and we're reminded of how awesome He is, we're reminded of all He did for us on the cross, we love Him. It's the natural response of our heart we have to love Him. And though you do not see Him now, but believe in Him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible. Are we rejoicing? It goes back to the same thing. Why not? We know why not. Let's fix it. Let's get to the point where we can rejoice every time. We're rejoicing all the time in our hope. We're rejoicing because we believe in Him. And we know that the various trials are just because we're not home yet, and they're proving our faith. Obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your soul. Skip over to verse 13. Because there's a little parenthesis in 10 through 12. It says, this salvation, even the prophets in the Old Testament didn't understand it, but they looked for it. And they knew their prophecies were pointing towards something bigger, but they didn't understand it. Okay, that's what 10 through 12 says. Verse 13 picks up right at the last point. Obtaining as the salvation of your heart, obtaining as the, outcome of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Verse 13, therefore, as invincible aliens, gird up your minds for action, keep sober in spirit, fix your hope, okay, the solid thing, that's very tangible, that rests on something true. Here's where you stick it. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's coming. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts, which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. The subject I picked up before in the drop was, we're keeping our behavior excellent among the Gentiles, among those we're living among. Okay? And here Peter is giving us the same admonishment. Okay, this is God speaking. This is the Holy Spirit. He says,
But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all your behavior. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Hey, those are tough words. I know it. But holiness is not the life we so often live. It's not the life the church in this world, the church in America lives. It's holiness. But God gave a commandment in the New Testament. It's not an Old Testament commandment. It's in the New Testament. It's for you to obey. And He says, you be holy as I am holy. Check your life. Check if all the things, and you can go over holiness so long. We studied it in our youth group that Jonathan and I and a couple of people lead back at ACC, Church in Iowa. We studied holiness for a whole year and all it means to apply holiness. And it's going to affect every area of life. It can affect what you wear. It can affect the movies you watch. It can affect what you buy. It can affect how you talk. It can affect every single thing. You be holy as God is holy. That doesn't say you be holy. It says you be holy as God is holy. Get to that level. And it also says, going back, I can't remember, but we talked about it before, how we've got everything. God's already applied it. In 2 Peter, turn over a few verses. I want you to see some verses that are just an awesome assurance. 2 Peter verses 3 and 4. 2 Peter 1 verses 3 and 4. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. That's really all I was going to look at. Okay, we've got it all. His divine power has given us everything pertaining to life. Everything pertaining to life. And everything pertaining to godliness. It's all covered. There's nothing left to chance. There's nothing we don't have the power for. We're invincible aliens on a mission. God said, be holy as I am holy. Why? So the Gentiles see you and glorify God in the day of visitation, because nothing they tried to pin on you stuck. It just bounced right off. And if, verse 17, and if you address His Father, the one whom partially judges, according to each man's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay upon earth, knowing that you are not redeemed with perishable things, like silver or gold, from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. Okay, we do address as Father the one who's going to impartially judge, don't we? That's what we call our greatest joy, is to say, Father, Papa, Daddy, I hurt, it's hard, give me the strength. You promised it in your word. That's our strength, that's our peace, that's our power. Okay, we do address as Father. Then conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay upon earth. Knowing, why? Knowing that you are not redeemed with perishable things, like silver or gold. Okay, we weren't redeemed with anything perishable, we were redeemed with the blood of Christ, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless. And silver and gold are perishing. Not only that, just our faith alone is worth more than that silver and gold. Even our faith is worth more than that. Let alone our inheritance. Let alone the blood of Christ which purchased us. For He was foreknown, Christ was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times. Christ appeared in the end times. Okay, we watched the video on the gospel. Christ appeared for the sake of you, who through Him are believers in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope may be in God. Christ was foreknown before the beginning of the world, but He has appeared. He appeared on earth, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. Glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He appeared for the sake of you in these last times. Okay? Who through Him are believers. You are the ones who through Him are believers. He appeared for your sake. The whole reason He came. To give you this hope. To tell you to get real. To tell you there's a real life going on. And you just gotta live this life as an alien and a stranger. One more quick admonishment in verse 22. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. Up till now we've talked about keeping our behavior excellent among the Gentiles, and everything's been evangelistic. Right now he focuses in. He says, you guys, how do you relate to each other? He says, fervently love one another from the heart. That's pretty hard, isn't it? Once again, He gives something beforehand that qualifies. He tells us how to get there. There's a reason we can't fervently love one another from the heart. Anybody know the reason? From the verse? Right. Since you have purified your soul for sincere love of the brethren. Then, because you have done that, fervently love one another from the heart. I've done this with the example of an orange or a Butterfinger bar. You hold up a Butterfinger bar or an orange, either one, and you say, who wants this? Who wants to eat this? You say, there's only one catch. You got to take it all down, wrapper and all, peel and all. And if you're talking to high schoolers or junior hires, there's always some guy who will do it for you anyway. But no one really wants to do it. Everybody wants to peel it and eat it. Okay? Purify your heart for sincere love of the brethren. Get the trash out. And then you can fervently love one another from the heart. That's the truth. Okay, we've looked at how we relate to each other. We've looked at how we relate to the world. We're going to get real because we have a rock solid hope. And we're an alien. We're just passing through. All right, let's close in prayer and then you can go eat cookies. Father in heaven, we thank you that you give us everything pertaining to life and godliness. We thank you that you paid the whole price. There's nothing, absolutely nothing left for us to do. We thank you that all we do now is live as what should come natural. And that's to live as an alien because we've been changed. Our nature's changed. Help us, Lord, to be those that when the world hurls accusations, they don't stick. Lord, it's going to be hard, we know it. But help us to be those that nothing sticks to us because we've got a new nature and we're living, we're keeping our behavior excellent. Help us to be holy as you are holy. And help us, most of all, to fix our hope completely on you and on the grace to be brought to us through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Help us to fix our hope there, which will enable us to live like these aliens and strangers, like we so desperately want to, because we want the party when we go home. We don't want the party for us now. And we truly do believe that. We truly want it. Help us to live it, Lord. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, you're free.